Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Mathens. And
over here, I'm Robert Winters.
And our special guest, Patrick.
Mr. Patrick Barrett. Once again.
Back again.
For those who boycotted the first half hour, again.
Oh, stop.
Patrick is a property owner in Central Square. Actually, I'm going to throw in a little bit here and say,
okay.
Also, he's now viewed by many people as sort of the go-to guy for a lot of zoning, the writing and drafting of zoning that actually stands a chance of actual success.
Yeah,
you know, is talk to Patrick. Yeah, you know, it's true. So Patrick.
Yes, sir.
So hopefully, I've done you justice. I thought what we would do here for this second half hour today is we talked quite a bit about the Building Energy Use Disclosure Ordinance, or BUDO, in the last half hour. But another matter that's been sort of running a parallel track, sort of waiting for action for a while, is something called linkage, right? Now, linkage is something which actually dates back, if I have this correct here, it dates back to what's called the Incentive Zoning Ordinance of 1988.
Wow, that really goes back.
Yes, and it was done basically to acknowledge the fact that when there is significant commercial development in a town, that it may have some impact. Like, for example, if it draws a lot of tech workers, as has happened in places like Kendall, then that might actually affect the local housing market and cause greater unaffordability. So the idea of incentive zoning was that for projects over a certain specified threshold, there would be an incentive zoning payment made that would go into a fund. And this, by the way, predates the existence of the Affordable Housing Trust, right? But it would go into a fund which would then be used to develop affordable housing or supports affordable housing in whatever ways, right? So did I get that correct?
You did. And, you know, the council in 2015 amended this ordinance to increase the amount of linkage, which I think at that point was like a few dollars, to then $12, which is a pretty significant jump. And I think I have to at least give some credit to the counselors in the room at the time, David Marr being one of them, who had been sort of lambasted by what I would call the more zealous goers of the Sullivan Chamber, that it was somehow some kind of like, you know, a bad thing that we had not jumped it up, but not recognizing economic conditions and the ebb and flow of commercial real estate, especially as it pertained to office, because that before then we weren't really talking about the pharma push, which has sort of come about since then. And it's really, it applies to buildings that are of lab use, general office use, retail, all retail uses, and a few other categorizations within our zoning ordinance that would be fall under the heading of entertainment. The 2015 jump came with a schedule of increases that came every year to get it up to 15, and then it jumped back to $22 or $21 and change, I think is where it is right now.
Actually, there's one thing worth mentioning here, which is that the city council cannot simply just impose the fees. It does require what is known as a nexus study.
Yes.
Which is this, I think, is under some state law here. It says that you can't just tax, you know, people. You need some authorization to do that, and it requires basically a justification.
This is based on constitutional law, and the idea of a nexus study that the actual funds have to be related to the impact of the project. And I think Cambridge has taken some liberties in that regard, but mostly the development community is more interested in building their project than they are about getting into a constitutional discussion about where funds may or may not go. However, that nexus study, the latest one, was done in 2019. And in that nexus study on pages 60 and 61, it can tell you quite clearly what the effect of this ordinance has been. Now, I like to tell people, when I explain zoning to people, I like to do it in sort of simplistic terms, because I think zoning is kind of like a Sudoku, and you either can do it or it just makes your eyes gloss over. And I look at it in terms of, like, if I was an alien coming from a distant galaxy and I landed in Cambridge to build something, and I wanted to find the book that told me everything I knew about what you valued as a people, I would look to your zoning ordinance first. In that zoning ordinance is a book that tells me what to do. So when I look at that book today, it tells me to build a lab, and only a lab. It tells me that life sciences are the most important development scheme that I could possibly do, and that everything in the zoning ordinance really pushes me away from any other type of use. So at $21 and change, that's per square foot of development, you're taxing labs the same way that you're taxing general office, the same way that you're taxing a restaurant or a movie theater or a music venue or a shoe store or any other type of commercial use that falls under what's called Article 4.35. I believe this to be a colossal mistake, because when I always go to these nice, I don't get invited to them as much as I used to, but these nice meetings with citizens, and they tell us what we want. And I never heard anyone say, we need more labs. They usually don't say that. What they say is they want entertainment uses, or they want this, that, and the other thing, none of which is a lab. But you look at the date of the Nexus study at 2019, right? That also should be a little bit of a red flag to folks, because a few months later, after the study was commissioned, I think in November of 2019, we had a little bit of a problem. We have a pandemic, and we're still in that pandemic. And that has fundamentally changed everything, from construction costs to land values to what we think of in terms of general office uses, retail uses. It's really put the crunch on a lot of those outside uses that aren't lab. So much so that I only get phone calls these days of people telling me, how can I put a lab here? How can I put a lab here? Wow. And what I typically respond to them and say is, call Jim Rafferty. I don't do that kind of shit.
Just to amplify what you've actually said, but not everything that you said, is that whenever I hear either actual proposals or rumors of potential proposals, it's like you don't even have to wait to sort of hear the word lab being what is inevitably what is being proposed, and then it takes a tremendous amount of pushback or cajoling in one form or another to try and get different outcomes.
One's ever going to say lab. They're going to say life sciences, R&D. There's a part of the problem of this whole discussion is under the heading that lab is under in the general office uses of Article 4, a lab is sort of boxed in with the same category of uses as a dentist office. It's like it's a little bit archaic, and we simply have not caught up with that. But my issue, and I think what a lot of developers are saying, and again, pages 60 and 61 of the latest Nexus study,
We have a web page in my site, which can actually give you references to those
According to this study, since the passage of the increase, 9 buildings have been built that were under the 30,000 square foot threshold, which is what it was dropped down to when they made the big change. It used to be 50,000 square feet and up. They lowered it to 30,000 square feet and up. The total square footage of those 9 projects was 167,000 square feet. That's important for the next little factoid. 28 buildings have been built since then that have triggered inclusionary. Each individual—
Inclusionary or incentive zone?
I'm sorry. Have triggered incentive zone. Thank you for the question.
I might as well take this as an opportunity just to point out, because I've seen many people actually kind of, because it's both IZ, right? So there's incentive zoning, which was passed in 1988, which is really about generating funds, which goes into currently affordable housing trusts as a result of commercial development, whereas inclusionary zoning dates to about 1999-ish, thereabouts, which simply mandate, and it has been since amended, to mandate that if you're building a building over a certain size, right, number of units, it was 10 or more units, I believe, you are then obligated to actually throw in a so-called affordable unit, and you either get density bonuses or whatever. Okay, so that's a distinction. So that's a public service announcement.
Very important distinction to be made. But and also they screwed that up too, so we can talk about that some other time. But incentive zoning, going back to this, the pages in the study, 28 projects have been built since the passage of the increase. And each individual project was greater than the total sum of all those projects that stayed below. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why people are staying below is that within the threshold of 30,000 square feet, and I would argue even to 100,000, depending on what you're building, no use can afford to pay that linkage fee. It doesn't financially make sense. Not a single hospitality building has been built that has contributed to incentive zoning for this exact reason. If you think about it, a lab can command anywhere from $125 to $250 a foot for rent, even in today's market, which is getting a little bit crunched, but you know, I'm seeing some bigger numbers, not necessarily, those are Kendall Square numbers, I think it's a little bit lower outside, but a music venue that will command probably zero rent today. You'd do what is called a percentage lease, which, you know, you basically, as a landlord, you're taking on some of the risk with your tenant, and you get a percentage of the gross at the end of the year, and that's your rent. But most banks will look at that as a zero sum game in terms of being able to underwrite it, because, you know, it's an unknown. So it's a little bit difficult to get those kind of projects off the ground.
Now, this begs another question, which is that if these types of disincentives towards anything other than a lab building exists under the amended version of incentive zoning, which is amended in, what was it again, 2015?
Correct.
Right. They are now, and I think that went from like a couple of bucks per square foot up to like 12.
It literally went from $3 to about 12.
Right. And now it's been incrementally increasing. It's probably up like 15 or something now, I think.
No, it's $21 right now.
Oh, it's up to 21 on the increments. Now, the original Nexus study actually floated the notion that it could be a lot higher, but there was also a reference that, well, maybe you don't really want to push it to the limit because you might regret it. So, but now what's on the table are proposals to increase it even more, correct?
So the original Nexus study that was done said you could probably increase it to close to $50. And this latest one says you can go to $33 without really, you know, breaking the bank, so to speak. And the issue that I have, if you read both Nexus studies, if you calculate how they are figuring out what use has what amount of impact on the city, currently in this latest 2019 Nexus study, they're saying that a restaurant, your shoe store, your gym has an 8 times greater impact on housing than a lab. That's what it says in bold print. I asked this question through a counselor a few months ago who was gracious enough to ask for me. When Iram and Chris Cotter were speaking on the subject, and they referred to this study in their answer. They didn't really get into the nuance of it, but they said simply if they had broken out all the uses and applied their Nexus study, that a lab would be $1 and a restaurant would be $8 in terms of what we tax them to build. So again, I'm that alien landing on this planet. I'm a little bit confused because I have a population of people who tell me they don't want labs. They want music halls. They want theaters. They want restaurants. They want, you know, bowling alleys and gyms and whatever. Entertainment-based uses that keep people, you know, within their neighborhoods and also create an active local economy.
Miniature golf courses.
Yeah, I was about to say that. You forgot the miniature golf many courses. Times. Miniature golf courses and batting cages.
Your miniature golf course is being taxed at the same rate as Pfizer's lab, as Moderna, as every single other grand IQHQ project that's being built. Now, you don't have to know zoning or construction to know that that's maddening. And that the result is, and this is again based on the Nexus study, just about 80% of all development in the city has been lab.
Wow.
So the aliens have landed, they've read the book about us, and they're doing exactly what we told them to do. I can't afford to build, like in Central Square, everyone loves Starlight, right? Starlight was, you know, the greatest thing. If you don't know what Starlight is, it's a stage we all built when some of us were facing foreclosure. and needed some release. And
it was, I like to think of it using the alien landing as this spaceship that was going to help get us through COVID.
We did it for a lot of reasons. And I think morale being like the number one, but also helping our friends out. I mean, I remember when the pandemic hit and, you know, 3,000 people were fired in Central Square and I actually cried. Wow. But if I was to build that now, linkage, incentive zoning project, I would be paying the $21, let alone the $33 and change they're asking for. So, you know, their question is broken. And I think, and I usually am deferential to CDD, but I'm not going to be tonight. I believe that they've asked a circular question. I believe that they started with the answer and found a way to reverse engineer to get back to it.
There's a phrase that I find myself using often these days, which is that in Cambridge, we do not think about things and then come to conclusions. We all too often come with conclusions and then try and figure out the justifications.
And I think that's what they did, because the Nexus study is looking at in terms, and this is the way, the only way I can make sense of it. People who work in restaurants and in movie theaters and these other places make less money than people in labs. Therefore, they need more housing. Therefore, if I'm building these things, that has a greater impact on our housing, which is like,
it doesn't mean.
I know I'm not going to swear, but like, I use all the swears that you know, say them out loud. That's what I'm thinking. So like, it's broken, and it clearly has driven lab uses as the primary use in the city. So if I'm a developer and I wanted to build an entertainment complex, figure like a 50,000 square foot Dave and Buster's, wouldn't that be sick? Why would I do that? I have no idea what the rent's going to be. I'm either on a percentage rent or I'm at $45 a foot or $50 a foot or something like that. It's going to cost me, you know, pretty damn close to what it's going to cost to build a lab. Although a lab probably is about $1,000 a square foot. I could probably build a 50,000 square foot Dave and Buster's at like 500, 700 in that range, all in. But I'm getting like a fourth of the rent on that. So I'm never going to build that. And I'm also going to pay you $1.5 million for the pleasure currently. And then if it goes up, I'm going to pay you like $2.5 million for nothing, for the thing you told me you wanted.
So
I'm not doing that. No one else is.
Now this begs several questions, and actually I'll throw one little bit more bit of background here too, which is that one of the more interesting but less heralded aspects of the K2 C2 process that happened a few years ago.
May it rest in peace.
But prior to that, when people talked about community benefits, they almost invariably thought about affordable housing as like the one and only. But one of the subtle things that actually grew out of that process is that people were talking about things like neighborhood-based retail and things like that as a community benefit. And that was even woven into some of the zoning changes to exempt some of the ground floor retail from zoning, you know. Yeah. So I thought it was a kind of an interesting switch where we were actually opening up the universe of you know, things that we saw as beneficial. Now, you know, what you're talking about here is right now we have a kind of a broken zoning code, if I'm hearing you correctly, mm-hmm. which is basically doesn't make any distinction between, you know, something which is actually, you know, maybe drawing in, you know, high wage tech workers or whatever and displacing people, right. and something that's high, you know, a restaurant that's just hiring people at, you know, much more basic wages and makes no distinction at all. It's all just evil commercial development, and that's that.
I think that's how it got in the door. And I think that, I mean, I remember Mark McGovern saying, and I'm sorry, Mark, I love you, but I'm going to throw you under the bus right now, that, you know, I want to make developers squirm just so much. And, you know, and I was like, they're not going to squirm. They're just going to go away, and they're not going to build the things that you want them to build. And I don't think the council understood entirely. And I blame CDD for this, for not explaining the impact, the overall long-term impact. This study has been on the table since 2019. I don't believe any city councilor has read it. And if they have, they have been pretending to me that they haven't. So, you know, shame on me or them. But the other piece of this, Robert, is we have lots of existing buildings. I always say Cambridge has lots of land. There just happens to be stuff on it. But those, that stuff are the buildings that have been built over, in some cases, 200 years ago. I just spent 3 years renovating one of those things. It is expensive. It is time consuming. It is scary as hell. You find stuff you've got no idea where it even came from. I heard on my job site, I've never seen that before so many times that I told people, if you say it again, I'm going to punch you. But the point is, if I think about what the pandemic did, right? Office is a mess right now. We have no idea where that's really headed and where it's going. If I wanted to renovate a 30,000 square foot office space, existing building right now, I'm paying linkage. So what do you think developers are asking me to figure out for them?
Yeah.
How do we cut out floors to make it a lab?
Sure.
Because there is no financial, there's no financial path that includes paying linkage that gets you anything other than a lab. And especially for existing buildings. And what I'm asking the council to do is not something radical or crazy or evil capitalist. Pat Barrett is, you know, got money on the mind. I want to leave existing buildings alone. I want to leave existing square footage alone. Unless you're changing that use to a lab, then linkage all day long.
Interesting.
I want to go back up to at least 50,000 square feet. There's no money on the table for that. And it hasn't been since it passed. There's not going to be. And I think that at least gives people some breathing room to then say, okay, well, you know, we can build a building with these uses in it that people want. And we can try to think about how to make it economically feasible without, you know, another 2 to 3 million on top of that. That's going to basically crush all your math. It also doesn't contemplate, you know, where construction costs have gone. You know, I look at the Nexus study, and I will say, you know, for other bits and bobs in this, and it really is so antiquated now based on COVID changing the world that it just, the math doesn't, you can't even look at it and make sense of it.
Let me make a comment on that too, which is, you know, one of the problems I have often with political leadership is they have a sense that they can control. We will turn one knob. It's very one-dimensional. We will crank up a payment here, and therefore all of these things that we want to see happen are simply going to happen because we are in control.
Right.
The Patrick Barrett point of view, as I understand it, is basically says there's this thing called economics that basically says that you can pass all the laws in creation here, but ultimately individual people with money to invest are going to be making decisions based on what makes economic sense to them. And they don't mind having regulations,
well,
but
so
they need to be predictable and sensible.
There was this magical time, Robert, that began in 2008 where interest rates were basically at zero and money was cheap. And in that environment, I would say, yeah, there's a lots of things we can do that wouldn't normally be feasible in other places. That's changed. Rates are almost at 6% and they're climbing, and they're going to get to, you know, 7% and 8% pretty soon. I remember those when those rates used to be like that, but a lot of people don't. And I think that really does affect the overall math. But moreover, what I'm proposing is to eliminate any 4.35 use. And that's those entertainment uses in the zoning ordinance. I don't believe that we should be adding a linkage fee to any of those ground floor commercial uses or second floor commercial uses or third floor commercial uses. In fact, I would eliminate them all. And I want to see what people do. I want to see if the market reacts enough, because I think, I'm not even sure that's going to be enough in this current environment to spur that kind of development. But I do know right now that even before COVID, it smashed it to pieces. Even when rates were at nothing and I could get a loan from literally any place on the planet for 3%, they still weren't building that. So is lab going to take a nosedive anytime soon? I think it's going to get a correction, but it doesn't go down to $40 a foot or zero or a percentage lease. No one's giving Moderna a percentage lease on their rent to see how they do. I would take that percentage lease. That sounds like a good deal. But, you know, the thing that I'm saying is, like, I think the council paints themselves into a corner. I think they paint themselves into an ideological corner. Yeah. And they have always pit property owners against the world. And I'm a property owner. I'm a parent. I live here. I work here. We're not all bad. And we all really want to get to better places. And I want my cultural district and Central Square to thrive. And under the current environment, it can't. And those Zondervanites would come out and say, well, we'll just take lab uses off the table. We'll put a moratorium in place. Well, that's great. They're still not going to build the other thing that you want. You can't take someone and force them. And their solution ultimately is eminent domain. Well, how's that working on Vail Courts, Margaret?
I know. Wow. Yeah.
Right. Right.
10 years, we still don't own the property.
That's crazy.
Well, but the thing is that that's sort of in sync with what I was mentioning earlier, which is that, you know, if you're a political leader, you often think in terms of control. So what are the vehicles for control? Well, we'll raise a fee. We'll pass a law. We'll pass a moratorium. We'll take something by eminent domain.
We'll change the charter.
Or change the charter. Yeah. Exactly. Right. But at no point is there any discussion about the way actual real world economics work and how real people make real decisions.
It's an intellectual inconsistency amongst the council. And I think I'm going to say liberals, I'm sorry to use the word, but like that they create market distortions and always expect the market to sort of bend to their will, when in fact, those very market distortions that they create the unnatural environment and actually the expensive environment which we're currently in. And I'm not saying make it a total free for all. What I am saying though, is that by the more you press down, the more squeezes out the sides.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing right now with lab development in the city. Yeah. The zoning ordinance is the book. It tells me everything about you and you want a lab.
All right. So what should we be doing next? We got about less than a minute.
Less than
go
minute.
Ahead.
There's a hearing on June 28th to discuss this. And
it's actually July 27th. June 20th, I think, is the one for Craig Kelly petition.
June 28th, I thought.
No, 29th is a Wednesday. So the 28th would be a Tuesday.
Anyway, it's in the not too distant future.
Not too distant future. Yes. So I would encourage people to think about this and to say, you know, if you want a Cambridge that's not just lab, then linkage has to be amended. Incentive zoning has to be amended. We have to remove those commercial uses that are on the table. We have to remove the ones, the existing square footage immediately and allow people to restore their buildings to get them to net zero or whatever.
Okay.
Well, on that note.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
Thanks a lot.
Patrick. Thank you very much.
And we'll see you again soon on Cambridge Inside Out.